I'm not sure if this is something that is normal to do after the first of a new year, but I find myself sometimes taking inventory of certain things, and that may be, you know, certain situations, business relationships, personal relationships, initiatives, you know, that have been underway since the previous year. But there, I think there's something about that fresh start that we have every new year. And I realize that's all in my head. That's just what I'm telling myself. Because really, it's just another, you know, this is just another day in a series of days. But there is a tendency, I find, sometimes to focus on, and this is only really if I'm paying attention to it and giving it energy, when things really, in some cases, don't feel the way they used to, or it kind of feels like with different things in life, you know, things feel like they're losing momentum. Might be the best way for me to put that into words. And it may be that there are certain things that there was excitement around, and this is really more along the lines of, this could be things that I'm just doing myself. But in this, I'm speaking more along the lines of things in terms of initiatives or things that we have underway with other people. And for some reason, it just feels like it's losing momentum. There's not the excitement around whatever it is that's being collaborated upon. And, you know, whatever is going on just doesn't seem to have the same energy anymore. And I know for years, this was something that I definitely struggled with, because I was always so caught up in the past and measuring the present against the past. And there was always some tendency to really lament things changing, because I, you know, had some sort of belief that things were better then than they are now. And it's a very human tendency. I think it's very, very normal. And it's something that, you know, we can tend to do if we're not paying attention to what our minds are doing. And I had a particular business relationship that I have, you know, there were some changes in terms of the organization that I was collaborating with. One of the key people had left to take another position. And ever since that time, it, you know, not to say that anything is wrong per se. It's not to say that there is any danger of that collaboration ending. It's just that the relationship has a different energy. And it's something that I noticed pretty quickly after that change happened. And I did catch myself, and there again, this is where mindfulness practice and mindful coping practices really, really help. Because I think as humans, we're always tending to, I don't want to say use the word measure things, but I think it is kind of a form of measurement. You know, we are, in our minds, we are comparing our impressions of other people against what we thought that they were at a previous time. And I can't say that this is everyone that does this, but hundreds and hundreds of people that I've talked to over the years, and many people that I've taught mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice to, have talked to me about this in various contexts. But it's this whole idea of, you know, we enter into a relationship with another person, or we begin some sort of new initiative with, it's usually with other people, although there are things that we do for ourselves as well. But we enter into those with, you know, it can be very easy and very human to enter into these things with expectations. And not even so much that, but there is the tendency to think, and it's kind of a conscious thought, you know, this is how it is. If I'm excited about working with somebody, if I'm excited to have met someone, then, you know, I have a certain belief about how I think it is. And I continue to have that thought on an ongoing basis. If I'm under the impression that this is something that I'm really excited about, the other person's really excited about, and so I'm feeling good about that and feeling like it's meaningful and it's getting somewhere, and then suddenly something shifts, and it's, you know, it could be with me, it could be with the other person or other people, but you get that sort of that gut feeling that something is different. And sometimes it's unmistakable. Sometimes as I mentioned previously, you know, with a person leaving an organization, you know, you have a different dynamic with different people. You know, it can change the energy of whatever it is that's going on between people. And where mindfulness, as I'd mentioned, where mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice really help is that I first have to be aware that I have created some kind of impression in my mind for how I think this is. This is how I think it is. So whatever that is, if I'm feeling really excited about it, that's my impression of this. If I'm excited about it, this is something that I'm really excited about. I value it. It is a source of happiness. And I derive some sense of meaning and value as a human being from it. And while all those things are wonderful and they're very life-affirming, there is also another side to this, and this is in terms of mindfulness, being aware that I can develop such an, you know, a powerful impression and come to a place where I'm clinging to this so much because it means so much to me, and I feel good when I'm engaged in whatever it is I'm doing with other people or even doing myself, that, you know, I can begin to need that in some way. There's kind of, I don't want to use the word dependency, but, you know, it is kind of like that. And if I'm not paying attention to the fact that I am starting to develop these sorts of what I call impressions for how I think things are, and then developing any expectations around that or beliefs of how I feel like it needs to be and how it will be, I can start to develop this entire infrastructure of making this thing something that it very possibly isn't. And that's really where I start to find that for me the suffering begins. If I start to really lose sight of the fact that whatever things happen with people, whenever things or whatever it is that happens with people, you know, these things come and they go, and things, you know, have their own time and then they pass. And it's easy to forget that when I'm wrapped up in believing that something is really, really good and it's always going to be good, or that, you know, there's a certain momentum, you know, we're moving forward and good things are happening. I'm making my efforts and putting my energy into it. Someone else or a group of other people are doing the same thing. And then you wake up one day and suddenly it just feels different. And that's really, for me, where the struggle used to be, would be where I would be aware. And I don't think anyone has to practice mindfulness or, you know, any sort of meditative practice to get that intuitive gut feeling that something is different, something has changed. I think that's something that we kind of come equipped with as human beings. I guess the difference between people is how much we're willing to listen to that gut instinct that we have. You know, our intuition will tell us these things, but it's really a matter of, you know, are we willing to listen, and how much are we willing to listen? And that's really where I think things get a little tricky, have always gotten a little tricky for me, in terms of mindfulness and being aware and then being able to cope with these things as they change or lose momentum. It is once I get that feeling or that sense that things are somehow different, instead of, I have a choice at that point, and that's really the critical juncture for this, is once I, you know, I get that sense, and whether I practice mindfulness or not, as a human being, I, you know, I can have that gut, that what I call that gut feeling that something has shifted. Then the question becomes, what do I do with that? And that's really where I get to the fork in the road, where I decide. And when I look back at my past, before I started practicing mindfulness decades ago, and there's even been times since then that I have caught myself or become aware that I am doing it again. And when I say doing it again, I mean that I start developing, I'm getting feelings and emotions that don't feel really good. And what happens is I start thinking about those feelings, and I start developing beliefs about, I feel this way and I feel badly because this happened. And then, you know, I start, you know, because this happened. And, you know, is this my fault? Did I cause this? What did I do? What did I not do? And it's really like going down a rabbit hole of overthinking and replaying the situation in my mind over and over again, going to that back to that point in time where things shifted. And then to make matters worse, and there again, I think this is just very normal and human, it's like I have to compare things. So I'm going to actually rewind the tape back further to when I felt really good about things and everything was going really, really well. And then I kind of roll the tape forward to where things have changed and then move it a little more forward. And then it's to where things don't feel good at all. And I know that, you know, it's no longer the way it once was. And at that point, I don't know if you've ever heard that sound before where someone is like fast, you know, they're rewinding a tape and then, you know, they're leaving the volume up or the audio or the audio level up. So you hear that sort of that squiggly sound going backwards, and then they hit the play button, and then you kind of hear what you hear, and then they fast forward and you hear that squiggly, you know, kind of high pitched sound when the tape rolls forward. And so you're kind of in your mind, and I'm not saying that you hear that sound, but what's happening is your mind is just shifting back and forth. You know, it's comparing. We like to, you know, we love to do that as human beings. And I can't speak for everyone, but I know for me, it's something that it's a mindless habit. And so I want to continue to keep going back and forth, trying to figure out, and then I'll slow this tape down and really focus, you know, put it in slow motion. And then I start trying to find things. I start replaying in my mind what, you know, people have said, what they didn't say, what I said, you know, and then that's where I start really becoming hypercritical of myself. And all these things happen in of themselves if I am not aware. And the only way for me to be aware is to practice being aware. And I know I say this many times, but I'm saying it really, not that I'm repeating it because I think it needs to be repeated for anyone else, but I say it from, you know, really for me as well, to remind me, because it's something that I need to remind myself of every day. I have a better chance of automatically catching myself overthinking things like this and getting lost in my head and holding on to all these beliefs about what I think happened and what my fault is in this and what I have done wrong, for things to be different and not be the way that they once were. And I can also, you know, and I'll admit it, I mean, it's very easy to blame other people. And I've certainly done plenty of that in my life as well, that I can be really not only focused on my own faults and shortcomings, but I can be really, really focused on pointing, you know, the finger at others and basically looking at what they did to make this situation the way that it is. And no matter how much of this I do, and this is really from a mindful coping standpoint, is that no matter how much of this I do, I'm not here dealing with what's happening right here and right now. If I have responsibilities, and more often than not, there are things that I need to do, there are things that I need to take care of each day, and if I'm spending my time lost somewhere else trying to overanalyze the past and comparing the past to the present and just longing for things to go back to the way that they were, I'm not really here. I'm not really coping with life as it is right here, right now, where it's happening. And the only way that I can do that, the only way that I can ensure that I'm here dealing with things, and it, you know, and a lot of times, unfortunately, I need to be here regardless of how I'm feeling. And that's taken me a long time to appreciate that as well. And that's really why mindful coping has been, that practice has been so beneficial for me and for many people that I have taught this to, because sometimes as human beings, you know, the emotions are not going to be positive, you know, every day and every moment of every day. And I feel silly saying this, but there, you know, it's there again, I'm saying it so that I can hear myself saying it. There, you know, things are not always going to feel good. I'm not always going to feel excited and feeling great about things and feeling great about life, but I still have to take care of what I have to take care of regardless. And to pull all this together, I think I'm in a much better place, and I put myself in a much better position to discharge my responsibilities and to do the work that I need to do, and to be present and be here for people that I love and care about, and even to be here for people that I don't even know that well, but have the opportunity to be of service to. And I really can't keep my promises to people. I really can't fulfill the commitments I've made to anyone unless I'm here And unfortunately, sometimes I know that even if I don't feel good and my emotional weather is cloudy or stormy, I still need to be here. And the only way that I can really ensure that I'm going to do that is to find a practice that's going to enable me to not get lost in all of my thoughts. And a lot of them are needless. I'd say the great majority of the thoughts that I'm thinking, and I realize there is critical thinking and things that we do need to think through, but I also realize a lot of my thoughts and many people I've talked to's thoughts are nothing more than mind chatter. It is just mindless habit. It's reactive thinking. We're just merely reacting to things that have happened or are happening, and it is something that doesn't really lead to us being able to be here now. It really ends up being clutter, and it gets in the way. It's static and noise, and it really does make it hard to hear, you know, what it is that our inner selves, our inner wisdom really is, because we're so busy somewhere thinking about something that hasn't even happened, and, you know, it's already in the past. Or it may not have happened or ever happened. But regardless of that, where, you know, whether it's the past, speculation about the future, or a reaction to something that's happening right now, the only place that I really have found that is best for me to be is here in the moment where it's all really happening. And at some point I found that mindfulness practice, because it really focuses just on returning back to this moment. So it's almost like if you hear the ticking on a watch, it's like now, now, now. It's like you're returning back. And while it is difficult when you first start practicing mindfulness to sit still and just watch what your mind is doing without judging it, without analyzing it, without trying to even understand it, and just letting these things happen and learn. And really, it's a matter of practicing not engaging with the thoughts. It's a matter of watching them pass by. And the more that you do this, the more you realize that that's really what they do. Thoughts come and they go. The reactions that we have to other people or other things or our own emotional states come and they go. The feelings that we experience on a deeper emotional level come and they go. They dissipate. And if we just give them time to run their course, because it really, at the end of the day, I've heard teachers before that, you know, that talk about emotional intelligence and various modalities of healing talk about the fact that it's just energy. And that is really, I find that to be something that really it resonates with me. This is just emotional energy. It's just nervous energy. It's just what our bodies do. And this energy moves through us if we let it. And the thing is, it will change. The problem is, and I guess I hate to use the word problem, but it really can't, you know, if we're trying to cope and have greater wellness, it is a problem when we are perpetuating our own suffering because we're not doing ourselves any favors. And if I can get to a place where I can just let my thoughts come and go and be open to the fact of when, you know, something happens that's very good, that I feel really great about. And it's not that I'm advocating being negative or, you know, telling yourself every time that happens, preparing yourself for the inevitable end of it. But it just gets to where I've learned to, you know, there again, and anyone can do this. And I think mindfulness practice really helps, because the more I can see that I'm clinging to things, the more that I'm needing, you know, that I really need things to stay the way they are, is just really a habit of mind. It isn't really true. I think that it is, I believe that it is, but it really isn't. It's really okay if things, you know, and there again, I'm not trying to impose my own beliefs on anyone else, but I'm just speaking from my own personal standpoint that I have learned that for me, it is really okay if things aren't always the way that they once were. I wish that in a lot of cases, it's so human and normal to wish things were the same way they were, especially if we loved the way they were. But if they're not, I know that I'm much better off turning around and looking forward. There again, I don't want to deny it or dismiss it and not allow myself the opportunity to grieve the loss of it. But I know that these are things that I'm in a much better position to do if I am able to pay attention to my mind, to utilize various meditative practices to calm my mind, to where I can actually just no longer be caught up in and trapped in needless thoughts that really don't help me heal and begin to just move on in a very healthy way and just deal with things the way they are. And it's scary. I realize that. I have some trepidation about this particular business relationship that I just mentioned. I mean, there is a fear, and I acknowledge it, around, you know, all the momentum, all the forward, you know, movement that we were experiencing. Good things were happening. We lose one person who was really a key person in this. I, you know, as one human being, I can't make all this happen on my own. I can't will all these things to happen or make them happen. And I'm vulnerable, no matter how much I don't want to admit it or come to terms with it. It's very possible that things may not ever be the same, and we may lose momentum, and things that we had hoped for and goals that were set may not be achieved. And there's really nothing I can do about that other than do my best and try to do what I can to help get the momentum rolling again. But it may not be enough. But the thing about it is, I don't want to get caught up in that. I don't want to get caught up in obsessing about what, you know, what happens, and then I'm envisioning negative scenarios about what happens. What, how does that affect me? How does that affect these other people if we really can't get things rolling again? It happens, and I just have to be able to cope with that. And I know for me, it's really come down to a very simple prescription, and that is, I want to be mindful. I want to be aware of what my mind is doing so that I can be aware of needless thoughts that really aren't serving me well at all and aren't setting me up to be able to really cope effectively, that aren't helping me, you know, do the best work I can do and be the best human being I can be. And I want to basically let go of those. And it's really not a matter of willing myself to stop that. This isn't really about self-improvement. It's just really about giving myself the ability, a practice that allows myself to let go of these needless thoughts that don't really serve me well and don't really help me cope more effectively or be the best person I can be. And just continue to practice that and do my best. And at some point, I have to just believe that things will work out, because that's really all I can do. I can't, unfortunately, I can't orchestrate all the outcomes. I'm just one, you know, one human being. But I, because I am one human being, I do want to focus on being able to cope in the best way I can, because I think that is really the most important thing I can do, along with doing my best.